Welcome, everyone. Welcome to our Cranes Club Talk number one. We decided to do that because this year we actually decided to not do any annual gathering, and we postponed to next year due to all this situation, this COVID situation. So instead of that, we thought about this, doing one talk every month with a guest to share about their experiences, what they went through in the career, and where they are from right now, and just learn from the people. So today's guest is none other than Sonia Reed.
And, hello, everybody.
Yeah, and just to introduce her a bit, she's a public health nutritionist focused on low and middle income countries. She has worked for several NGOs delivering programs and carrying out research. For the past 2 years, her work has focused on Gaza, Palestine, where she's working as a consultant on mainly food security and economic empowerment projects. She will share her story going from being unemployed for months to working on way to doing something she loves. So Sonia, thank you very much for being with us here.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on the first Cranes Club talk.
Yeah, no, really glad about that.
And the series.
Yeah, really glad. And I would like to, yeah, I think we'd like to give you just the words, and then you can just share your experiences with us and what you went through.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk a little bit about my career or my work, since this is in the Cranes Club context, and then tying it to my faith as well, but also my path of getting here. And I hope that that can be something that can be, yeah, something for anyone to learn on, or to, yeah, pick up some good practices or learn from the challenges or something like this. So, yeah, as Takayuki, you mentioned, I'm a public health nutritionist focusing on low and income countries. So that's mainly working with undernutrition and, with either children who are not, mostly children and women who are not eating sufficiently, or having some other reasons why the nutrition is not sufficient or their nutritional status is not sufficient. But I'm not only working with that at the moment, I'm generally working with international development projects, so that's humanitarian projects, and in Palestine, or focusing on Palestine at the moment, working as a freelancer to evaluate projects. So when humanitarian organizations do projects there, they tend to do evaluations to know how they did. So we talk to the beneficiaries to see, you know, how did you like it? How did it work? We're reviewing the project documents to see if the money has been used well, and to give them recommendations for future projects. So that's something that I'm doing this day. And I really like it. I love what I do. But I also have to, I often think that, you know, 6.5 years ago, I was sitting at home alone, I was unemployed, and I was like, what am I doing with my life? You know, I had just graduated. I was in a foreign country. I had got blessed to Kenneth and moved out of, you know, Finland. And I was like, I had no idea what I should be doing. I kind of, for a long time, I had the idea that I like international development, but it's such a large field, you know, like, where do you start? What do you do with it? As a graduate, you don't have a lot of experience. I was in London at the time, and I still am. And, you know, London is great for a lot of opportunities, but also you're just one in a million. You're kind of a nobody, you know, especially as a graduate without experience. So I was going for a few different periods of unemployment. And I kind of wanted to talk about this path that I had of how I got from that point to where I'm now. And because it's not, you know, I think that's something that many people have, or many people that I've talked to, you know, are going through. And so, and I just wanted to share some encouragement that I really believe that wherever you are now, you can achieve your dreams, and that you can be both with your own efforts and through guidance, that you can get somewhere, even if you're not sure at the moment where you will get. I would not have guessed, by the way, that I would be here. It's not like, oh, I want to get there, and, you know, this is how I'm going to do it. You know, it's kind of how things worked out. So first, I just wanted to start by sharing about that path, about, you know, being unemployed and depressed at home to, you know, nowadays I'm being offered jobs that I can't, you know, great jobs that I love, but I can't take because I can't do that at the moment. How that, you know, how that came to be. So, so there have been a few. I mean, I started doing basically some internships. I had an idea of what I kind of wanted to do, and I was disappointed to do internships at the beginning because I thought this is like, well, you kind of want to get a paid job, you know. Also, in UK, you don't get paid for internships, like, for example, in France other countries. Yeah, so then you just, you know, you're unemployed at home for months, and then you get a job for which you don't get paid, you know. It's like, thanks guys, you know, this is starting great. And then actually also my husband Kenneth got a job in France, so that's why we moved to France for 4.5 years. And this was actually kind of where, in hindsight, you know, which kind of seemed guided, which kind of helped me also in my path. So in the beginning, I started doing some jobs which were in NGOs, but mostly as an assistant, especially in France. I spoke some French, but, you know, I had some, you know, tough experiences with the language and kind of trying to make your way. So I started in more kind of, you know, lower level position than I had expected for the degree that I had done and the kind of things that I was looking for, kind of more assistant positions. But I basically did, you know, quite well in those. And I tried to always be proactive and, you know, come up with ways. Well, partly that was to not be bored, but also partly to, you know, just because I wanted to just kind of do, you know, do more and show that I can do something meaningful, you know.
Yeah.
And so when I was working in NGOs, I was kind of suggesting like, hey, why don't we do our finance system like this, or, you know, something like this to kind of try to move things along, even though it wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. And so I had a few different like internships, supporting jobs. In the beginning, when I was unemployed, also I was working in restaurants and, you know, just doing that kind of a thing.
You mean that was in France? I think France
one
already?
Of the turning. Sorry?
That was in France? Restaurants?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, restaurants was in UK.
Okay.
This was, yeah, France. I was thinking, should I go and work in a boulangerie or shall I just. So I decided to work in. When I went to France, I applied for assistant level jobs. So when I was here in the UK, I was doing restaurant jobs, but applying a little bit ambitiously to jobs that I thought I might get, but I didn't. So then when I was in France, I was like, okay, let's lower the bar and just go for assistant jobs, you know, admin assistant, finance assistant, these kinds of things I applied for. So I was doing kind of support roles, in communications and finance, supporting more, that kind of thing. Then the turning point, I think, in my career was when I did my master's. I actually just had a bachelor's, but I did my master's. And through these internships and these experiences, I saw what different organizations are doing. And I got more of this interest in nutrition specifically. And so then I applied for a master's in UK to do nutrition for global health. And I got in and I did some online course also before that to increase my chances to get in. And that was quite, tough because actually we were still living in France, but I was doing the master's in the UK. So I was commuting every week between Paris and London, which, by the way, is cheaper than to rent a room in London. So, you know, and of course it helped also that my in-laws were here. But it was kind of a, let's say, something which was not so evident. I think something that encouraged me actually to do this was the fact that I saw some of my friends, you know, or let's say several girls in our movement who, you know, moved to a foreign country with their husbands and then find themselves like, oh, you know, find something difficult or find it difficult to do something where they can express themselves or do really something that they like. So it was kind of made me sad to see that. I was like, well, I feel like we should be doing really what we want to do. And I think that's also how society benefits most, when everybody is doing what they're really good at and what they're passionate about. That's actually good for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not like a sacrifice to like, well, you know, I'm going to sacrifice and do this. But it's actually in everybody's interest if we can do what we are good at. So even after, so during this master's, I was, when it came to do our summer project or a kind of research project, this is where I realized, because I had spent so long difficulties trying to find a job that I like, I knew that this is really important. And this project as part of your experience, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was really making sure that the project that I chose was something which was practical, which NGOs were interested in, that it was like a topic that people were interested to research about, and that it was somehow practical also. So I went to Malawi and I did research there on basically malnutrition in infants under 6 months of age, which was an area which was kind of like a new, you know, because normally when we look at malnutrition and NGO programs, it's normally above 6 months, because the under 6 month group is supposed to be breastfed. So we didn't really use to focus so much on that group. So anyway, so I chose that kind of strategically, hoping that, okay, through this, I can get some experience. And after the master's, I spent a little bit time unemployed, but actually through that, exactly through this project, I got my contact where I got my first freelance job to do more research on the same topic. Wow. And then I'm still in France. I actually, the job that I had before my master's, which was where I was in a kind of more assistant position, they actually recommended me to a bigger NGO where I got to do actually the kind of more, let's say, higher level work, or the kind of work that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Through that, I got to do my first job in Gaza, you know, where I was working actually in nutrition, which is exactly what I wanted to do, you know, where I actually got involved in the program. So this is kind of how it evolved, of how I went from kind of small steps to doing something interesting. And I think that the factors maybe that made that possible were, well, first of all, hard work. Like, you know, I kind of had to make effort at different point, or to do some sacrifices, like doing the master's in London, which was kind of hard. And to be kind of proactive. And, you know, they always say that networking is important. And I'm one of those people. I come from Finland. Like, I avoid talking to people when I can, you know, kind of as strangers.
Yeah.
You know, and so just the idea to be like, hey, I'm a student in this and I want to have a job, you know, it's just like, not my thing, you know. But I do think that contacts are important, but you can do that even though you're not the kind of person who goes up to talk to people, you know. So just, I think, through taking opportunities, when you have an opportunity, you know, do that online course, go to this kind of event. I mean, in a way, and you know, a lot of these things also made only sense afterwards, you know. When I was in that job as an assistant, it was difficult to be positive and difficult to see that, you know, well, you know, yeah, it's not really what I want to do in my life. But how that then afterwards, I realized, you know, that there's a red line kind of going through my path, seeing how one thing helped me get another thing. And actually that internship that I first had here, which was unpaid, was in nutrition, which is how I got interested in that in the first place. But those things only make sense afterwards. You know, when you're in the middle of it, you can't see it, you know? So I think also just taking one step at a time will reveal to you the next step. And I think that kind of, in addition to that own hard work, I do believe that you can be guided also, but you have to make it a lot of effort, you know?
For example,
I had this opportunity with the research project. I could have just done something which was easy, which is like, well, I'm just doing a literature review research project. But instead of that, I was looking for stuff with NGOs. And I think that one thing is also that you try a lot of things and you just need one thing to work out, you know, but that behind that is a lot of, you know, going to random events and nothing came really out of that. But well, at least I tried, or I tried to do something cool, you know. But then at some point there's something that will work out. I have talked a lot, and I don't know if that's been clear what I've been saying.
Yeah, no, definitely. Can I share some few things as well at the same time?
Of course.
Yeah, few questions as well, like maybe few. Yeah, sorry, sometimes there's a bit of a problem of a connection sometimes, but it's okay, all good. Some few things. First of all,
I noticed that in London and Paris the Wi-Fi connections are worse than what I had, by the way, in Malawi and in Gaza. So,
oh, know, wow, really?
the internet here is so bad. I don't know why, but it's in London, especially, even in France, we had better Wi-Fi.
Anyway. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, maybe that's true. Yeah, I mean, I was just like, really, I think the one of the big points that I took was networking first. Networking, I think it's a really big thing. And I think, like you, for me, networking was something that I never thought of, because I was always, oh, it's my job to do it. It's my job to find it. And always I was like, if I'm asking people for help, then it's like, oh, I can't do it by myself. It's like an ego. It's like an ego stuff. It's like my ego taking control over that. It's just like, oh, I don't need people for me to get where I am at. If I need people, then it means that I'm not good enough or something like this. So this networking idea, I was just like, people were saying it's really important, but I always felt it, oh, but it's heavy. I don't want to ask people. And I'm a bit like this person also that I don't want to ask. But it's really interesting and funny that she's saying that, because also recently I just felt that actually networking is something that you can't go around it somehow. And you will never, and even if you think that you went by yourself somewhere, you didn't go by yourself. It's either someone that connected you to someone, or you heard that from someone else. And it's not just you and your own brain that made it where you are at. It's always someone else's ones as well. And when we take that seriously, networking.
And I think we all need that. We all need somebody at some point who believes in us and who gives us an opportunity. I think everybody needs that in their careers. But the nice thing is that then you are also going to do that for somebody else.
Exactly.
You know, like once you're in a good position, then especially when you have a higher level position or a management position, then you're also in a position where you can do that to other people. You can change somebody's life by saying, well, you know, you don't have a lot of experience, but I think that you can do this, you know.
Exactly. So, I think it's a really big thing, and I really recommend actually even saying, I'm saying that to myself as well. I'm recommending myself that I need to push even more to get to the networking and to actually find people and be more open. It doesn't mean to you have to talk to everyone around. It's just being more open of the possibilities and things that is around you somehow.
Yes, for sure. I think it's exactly that. Because it doesn't mean that you're putting yourself forward or you know, like boasting about yourself or something like this, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, for people to know about you, for people to know what you do and what you're good at, you know, this is something through which you can get opportunities potentially.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I had one question that came to my mind also when you talked, like this first internship that kind of shifted everything in your career, I guess, that you find. How did you find it? Was it just randomly, or did you felt it was something special? I don't know.
I didn't have any connections. So that's also one thing I'm proud of. Like I don't have parents who have referred me to jobs or friends who have referred me to jobs. Like initially it was like really applying, you know, from from the job website or something like this. And by the way, I was late for my interview with 15 minutes or something like this, because I tried to cycle there. I thought I was smart, you know, I'm gonna cycle there, you know, instead of taking the public transport, and I got lost, you know, on the way. But I had done so many interviews that I kind of, you know, you get into the kind of way of, you understand a little bit about what employers a little bit are looking for. And actually, if you're proactive in an interview, this is really interesting for people. Like ask the questions when you finish the interview, like ask questions about how they do things.
Yeah.
And if you already have some ideas of like, I just started to get into the habit of, you know, just asking them like, okay, so how are you doing this? I was like, oh yeah, that's really important to do it well. Or, you know, somehow to start a connection at the end, so that they feel like, okay, that you have some, you know, initiative and something like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, ask some questions, kind of to have a conversation a little bit about what is it they need. And you know what you think about that, even if you don't know, even at that point, really. You can talk, if you're like a little bit smart, you can just kind of go, yeah, like financial management, yeah, that's really important to do that well, you know, yeah, to be transparent or something, like, you know, what, just anything where they see like, yeah, you kind of get what they want, you know?
So that's
just how I got that, even though I was late for the interview, and I don't recommend being late, but you know, yeah, that was how I got my first one. And that was just really applying, you know, on the website.
Okay. So this internship was kind of something like, oh, why not, kind of thing. It wasn't like, it was more, how do you say? Yeah, it was more like, oh, why not, right?
It was like, well, I don't want to sit at home depressed, so I'd better do something rather than nothing. It was that kind of thing. I wanted to get a job, but then it was just so hard to get a job that I started looking for internships.
Yeah, I see.
And this was like event. This was with Action Against Hunger in London. And this was, you know, events organization and fundraising, something like this.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you were also, you were already actually interested about all of this, how do you say that in English? Benevolence?
International development. It's the international development sector. Humanitarian development.
Mm. Wow, yeah, that's amazing, yeah. I mean, just by curiosity, how old were you somehow when you shifted or when you find this internship?
I was 22.
22, okay. Okay. So it's been quite some time already.
That 23 even. I think I was probably 23.
Yeah. I see. Yeah, I think it takes some time to find out what we really want. And
that's for sure.
And yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it has been really, really interesting before me saying maybe some more things. Like, do you want to share a last point that you have in your mind or that you want to say, you didn't say?
Yeah, maybe I wanted to talk about the faith aspect as well, since Queen's Club is kind of a little bit about that. So, and how to maybe combine because in a way our unification faith is about living according to the principle, right? Living according to the divine principle. So it's not so much about like I pray at work, but it's you know, how do I live according to, you know, the principles, and how can I contribute through my work to establishing the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is kind of our goal. But anyway, the first one about living according to the principles is a bit, let's say, not easier at all, but maybe it's easier to see what that means exactly. And one of the things that I notice is that, you know, if you take living according to those principles seriously, or let's say being truthful to yourself, then any job will be challenging and any job will be meaningful, because you will always be, you will always face the choice of doing what's easy and doing what's right in any job. And that was even when I was doing customer service, when I was still in high school, I was doing some customer service jobs, you know, or when I was working in these restaurants after I had graduated. If you try to do things well, and, you know, I think that that's how you grow the most, when you try to do things well, you will always be challenged by people who are like, well, you know, why are you trying to clean that up? You know, let's just go home. We finished our shift, you know, something like this, or treating people with extra respect. If you're following that, then literally any job is going to be challenging and it's going to be meaningful. And that's what makes really something, I really believe that anything, even if you're doing cleaning, if you're doing, you know, something which waitressing, or if you're doing a higher level, or let's say, you know, some office job, anything, like whatever you do, you can find the meaning through that, because you will always be dealing with people. And that's always, you know, you will always have that choice. And I just really wanted to encourage also how important that is. I learned lessons in these jobs as a waitress that I will never forget, you know, about how that works to treat people, you know, working hard. And, you know, when you treat people with respect, how they will respond to that, even if they're at first, you know, grumpy, how you can change people. And that's been so valuable later on in my life, but not just in terms of those lessons, but also about the attitude that you have at work. And that's also what I would like to encourage everybody to do, because, you know, I think especially when we start going into the work life, I mean, you know, some people are, it's just really easy to get accustomed to the work because we are social beings. Yeah. So we try to conform to other people, and it's easy to lose your values or your principles in this kind
true,
of thing.
True,
and,
yeah.
You know, even yeah. for me, I'm working in the humanitarian sector, and you're still, you know, wherever you are, you will face those kind of ethical dilemmas. And, you know, even small situations where, you know, my boss asked me, there's some mistake happened, and my boss asked me, you know, what exactly happened there. And I could very easily blame somebody, my colleague who just happened, wasn't there, you know, so it's just easy for me to blame somebody else. But, you know, instead, you know, to say, actually, it was me, it's so tough, you know, yeah. it's so tough, especially when you're in a position where you're trying to make your way up, you know, it's really difficult to be honest and truthful in that situation. But also it's very easy to just, you know, I just heard so many times, you know, that people said, I was like, well, why are we doing things this way in this work? And people just say, well, this is just the way that it works. Or, you know, this is, everybody does it like this.
Yeah.
And I just really, really want to encourage to be honest to yourself, and don't do things that you don't agree with or that you feel in your conscience is not correct.
Yeah.
Because this is how we create cultures where everybody just does things because that's how we are doing things, how everybody does it without actually questioning whether that's good or not. And it's going to get you into trouble, by the way, to challenge these ways of things. But I felt like this is also where you also find a lot of meaning and a lot of fulfillment through that, you know, like, well, again, for example, now when I'm doing this consultancy work, I'm working with my colleagues in Palestine and also another colleague in Western Europe. And this colleague in Western Europe also was, you know, saying to me at some point when we were applying for these jobs, we have to determine our own salary. When you're applying as a freelancer, you determine your own daily rate.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, of course I'm going to take the same rate as my Palestinian colleagues.
Yeah.
Because actually I have less experience than them. They are more experienced than me, you know, and we're just doing the same work, so same salary. And so then my colleague was saying, not in a bad way, but I was like, well, you know, we're living in a Western country, so, you know, your expenses are going to be higher. And I just couldn't take that idea that I'm going to get more paid than my colleagues. I felt like, no, that's wrong. You know, I felt this. Okay, I'm not saying that the concept itself is wrong, but I felt in that situation like, no, I should not accept this. And, you know, and several times I was told this, you know, like, hey, you know, you should take higher salary. You're living in a Western country. And I just like, no, this is wrong. Like, it doesn't matter if everybody else does it that way, but I'm going to take, you know, I'm going to do this how I, you know, what I consider to be equal in that situation. And, you know, there's just so many things where you could just go with, well, this is just how it works without questioning it.
Yeah.
But I just really want to, and I feel like especially us as unificationists, you know, as a way to contribute to our surroundings, where this is something, you know, which is a way to contribute by doing things, by being truthful to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, just by being truthful, and trust me, that's going to get into trouble. I've been called a troublemaker like more than once, you know, but I really feel like this is the way that, okay, it's easy for everybody just to do what, you know, to do what everybody does without opposing these kinds of things, which, you know, could be considered as not fair. But if you speak out against them, then, you know, well, in the process, I actually made people, I connected to all other people who felt the same way. And also just kind of feels more fulfilling. So I just wanted to say that don't, you know, for everybody, don't be afraid to be truthful and to not compromise what you feel is correct and what your conscience doesn't agree with, whether that's, you know, whether that's a managerial job or whether that's something, you know, you're doing as an evening job besides your studies, you know, always be truthful. And that's how you, you know, end up not compromising or get into the habit of not compromising.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's powerful and crazy. Yeah, it's true. We don't really think about it sometimes, huh? We just go with the flow.
Don't think about it.
Yeah, we just go with the flow, and because how I see it is just like, oh, I'm getting to a job, then I should just follow. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, that's and this exactly is the point. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's true. Like, there is some stuff going on, and you're just like, okay, but why do we do this? Or I don't really feel good to do it like this way. And that's okay, I guess. And it's true, but it's scary to just step up and be like, guys, I don't feel, I mean, just to say something, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
But I think it's really powerful as well. And because it's you, right? It's about yourself. So if you don't feel good about doing something, then you go against yourself. And you start to not feel good with
you. And the thing is that
you
get used to it also. You get used to doing things. And I think that you can get lost that way.
Yeah, that's true.
I really think so.
That's really, really true. Well, that's a really powerful point, yeah.
But, I mean, of course, I also just want a disclaimer. Like, I don't mean to do it in an arrogant way or something, you know. Of course, I think that we have you always have something to learn. I just mean when it comes to these kind of, like, let's say, ethical or moral situations where you're like, well, I don't feel like this, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And it can also actually bring you, when you stay true to yourself, on the spot, it might not feel that you're doing something really good or right, because you have all these people like going against you, or I don't know, like you're having this negativity about people. But it's long-term run when you start, when you always are like that and you're just always true to yourself, then for sure something good will happen. For sure you'll have integrity. People will feel it. People will know it, and they will. I don't know. I think it's tough to say, but I really feel it's something really, really powerful to always stay true to yourself, because at the end it's gonna come back to you. Of course, in a genuine way, for as you said, in a genuine way and in a truthful way, or everywhere we can say anything. But really good point. I really like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and if everybody is against you, then maybe you can think that, well, maybe I should check myself.
As well.
But if there are some people who are like, well, I think that what you're doing is really good, or, you know, somebody needed to say that, then, you know, be the hero. I mean, and as I was saying, like, you know, I come from Finland. I'm not somebody who's looking for trouble, like, by any means. You know, I don't enjoy this kind of thing. But I also came to feel like, I feel like it's my responsibility, you know. I think it's everybody's responsibility. To be truthful to themselves.
Yeah. Wow. I think that's a really powerful point, that we can all take and that we can all reflect on. Because, it's easy to just follow like that. And sometimes we get into this cycle of, we go to work and let's say we come back. We go to work and come back. But then we might be losing a small part of ourselves sometimes into this. I'm going to work. And that's fine if I put this side of myself on the side just for the work, and then I come back home and I'm myself again. But then you're kind of living like two small different lives, which is a bit, No, that's really, really important, I think. And I really like that. It's true. I never really heard it this way. And it just struck me as well. I'm just reflecting as well. I'm like, okay, that's really true. Yeah.
I guess it's a path to find that out or something. I actually was speaking recently to a friend of mine with who I did the master's, and you know, we were just catching up about what she had been doing, and you know, she had a really good job and she quit it because she said, you know, I was not true to myself, you know, I don't think what they were doing is correct, so I quit, you know, and then started to do something else. So it's like kind of, it's a process of getting into this, realizing that, okay, you know. Yeah, it's a process.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Thank you very much, Sonia, for all this input that you're giving to us. And I hope that everyone can reflect about it and think about it. That's amazing and that's awesome. I think I don't know if you want to share something more that you have in your mind, Sonia.
I don't know if I talk too much. I don't really have anything.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, completely. I think it was a really, really, really good first episode. And I'm really glad, actually, that we got to a topic like this, because as the first one, I think there's a lot of people that are into the situation of, I don't really know what to do, or they're in a position of, I'm doing this job, but for now it's okay. but it's still not exciting me. So even though it's not in the topic is not about, oh, I created my own business and have this, all this successful stuff. I think before that is really finding what you really love, finding what you are willing to do. Almost, I wouldn't say for the rest of your life, but I would say for a big part of your life, I guess, somehow.
Yeah.
Because it can always change, of course, during your lifestyle. So that's why I'm really, really glad that you could give your experiences about this and how you went through, and that there is hope for this, and that we should not lose this hope of finding what we really, truly want to do just for the sake of having a job or just for the sake of getting there. And of course, we can always have a job, but always trying to find out, even though we are in a job that we are not happy with somehow, because this happens, of course, and finding what we want takes a lot of time, but at least trying to always look for it, right? Trying to look for it and not just settle down and be like, oh yeah, that's it. That's my job and that's me, you know?
Yeah,
so sure. No, I really like that. Really, really like that. So I'm glad that we get to that point, because I think it's almost, I guess, like the beginning of everything, right? Yeah, it's before creating this huge project and all this kind of thing, we have to be good with yourself and what you're doing for the most of your time. So sure. I'm glad that this first episode was about this and about trying to find your ideal work, I guess, or what you want to do. And thank you for sharing all this experiences that you got through. Yeah, amazing.
Thanks, and good,
really inspiring.
Good luck to everybody.
Really, really, really inspiring. Even for myself, yeah, it's crazy.
Thanks.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'll just hope it can support people, because I really didn't come from somewhere where I already had everything. You know, it just really came from nothing. So I really believe that everybody can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. And I really like the point that you said, that sometimes we don't really see why we're doing things, but when you look backwards, then you see, okay, that's why.
And yeah,
that's
exactly.
A really, really important point. Sometimes we always try to feel myself first. I always try to know, okay, what is the next thing? Like trying to see, I'm going to be like this, and this is going to be me. And sometimes you just can't see it. You just have to go with the first step that is just in front of you. And then the next one will open up afterwards. But you will not be able to open up this door if you didn't take this first step. So you can't actually project yourself
the important thing is to keep moving and to do something, and then I believe you will be guided. If you're moving with the right attitude, with hard work, then you will be guided to the next step.
Exactly. Well, yeah, Sonia, thank you very much for your experience.
Thanks,
and for
Takayuki.
Your outcome. I hope that for everyone that is listening to us, that it was really meaningful, and that you guys can reflect about it. For sure, for me, it was a big reflection and big time. Thank you very much for being our first guest in the Cranes Club Talk, and really nice experience and talk with you.
Hey,
thank you very much for everything, and thank you very much for the see you next time for the next month. We will be always on the last Saturday of each month, the talk. So I will see you in a month, everyone, and until then, take care.